Everyone, this is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2VAR. Okay, that's a good thing. I always like to find that I hear crickets after I ask that question. Hi everyone, this is Gordon, W2TTT. We'll be using the Bergen Amateur Radio Association call sign K2VAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency 146.955 MHz. Was conducted on a frequency 146.955 MHz. Now conducted on a frequency 146.835 MHz. The repeater of the Venture Cruise 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York, just across the border from Bergen County. This net is conducted weekly for the purpose of having a conversation. Conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural arts and sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby. And of course, what we do with that hobby, how we interact, things we aspire to do, things we've done, things, of course, we never want to do again, which sometimes make for very entertaining stories, valuable lessons, and of course, it's an opportunity for sale swap or wanted items. And we encourage you to check in, irrespective of whether you have one of those things, just so we can kind of tailor the net to your needs. If you don't check in, we can't tailor the net to your needs. We also have a supporting Yahoo group. It's a closed Yahoo group called ComTech Group. Charlie Oscar Mike Tango Echo Charlie Hotel Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Football ComTech Group at Yahoo Groups. So keep that in mind. If you can't locate it for any reason, please shoot me an email at whiskey2tango@arl.net and we will take care of your signing up. Alrighty. So we check into this net a little differently. As I said, we want you to check in even if you don't think you have anything to add. And we check in with our call sign, our name. We'll indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. We do this by call sign group, so we will take you in some sort of reasonable order so as to minimize confusion. The other thing we do is we'd like one call sign at a time, please. So, with no further ado, November stations, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is N2OEL. Four items for sale. One question.
Okay, Noel, good evening. Four items for sale and one question. We'll get to you shortly. Any other Novembers? Okay, how about Alphas?
AC2GI, Rich, one question.
Good evening, Rich. Got you covered. Any other Alphas? Okay, let's go to Whiskies.
Good evening, Gordon. It's Jim, WA2UMP in Pearl River, and just listening.
Oh, WA2ISC, Bob, and no traffic.
Okay, WA2UMP, Jim, I got you, no traffic. And Bob, I wasn't able to type your stuff yet. Hold on. Very good, I have you as well. And the other Whiskies?
This is W2JEK with a comment.
Good evening, Don. I got you. Any other Whiskies?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Okay, double the idea. Any other Whiskies?
W2TU. Chris, just listening. The PL is off and have not noticed any problems with it.
Yeah, me neither. And I've heard the band open, which is good. So thank you, Chris. I think we both can kind of keep an ear out. All right, any other whiskeys?
W2GKE, Frank, listening.
Sorry, station, I doubled with you again, please.
W2GKE, Frank, listening.
Good evening, Frank. Good hearing you. It's been a while. Good hearing you. But if you hear my audio going up and down, it's because I'm holding the microphone and typing on a tablet with the same hand while holding the tablet with the other hand. So I want one call sign at a time. It's all good. Thanks, Frank. Welcome. Any other whiskeys? Okay, how about Kilos? Alrighty. Well, Mr. Don, you're going to go first. W2JEK, K2BAR, go for it.
Alright, K2BAR, and W2JEK. As of right now, I do not have any VE sessions planned for next year. I'm going to have one in somewhere in the middle of January, probably on a Friday night. Also, February, March, and April, and then May we'll be having the Barra Ham Fest, and then after that I'll have another one in June. I have to get these dates squared away with K2ZO, who is the maitre d' of the senior center over there in Township of Washington. So that's all I have right now, so back to that, and W2JEK.
Okay, very good, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don about upcoming test sessions or licensing in general? Alrighty. Thank you very much. Don, did you have anything you want to add?
No, nothing else. I just had a nice 20-minute rag show with a guy down in Virginia. A little place in the Blue Ridge Mountains where Sam Snead, the golfer, used to live. Back to that, W2JEK.
That's wonderful. That is very cool. Okay. Very, very good. Let's see. I guess our next person is going to be, Noel, your for sale items first, please. K2BAR.
Okay, I got some antennas on my roof. There's a quad for 2 meters, appears to be about 4 or 5 elements. Just hanging up there, not connected. It was put up there so it wouldn't get damaged. As you know, the antennas that lay around get discombobulated. There's an MA5B. You can just look it up on the internet. M is a Mary, A is an apple, the number 5. B is a boy. It's a 5-band B. On 10, 15, and 20, it's 2 elements. On 18 megahertz, 24 megahertz, it's a rotatable dipole. It's up there. You're welcome to bring your HF rig and test it. I got a 50-amp Astron, so there's no problem. Underneath it is a Ham 4 rotator, completely rebuilt by W2HP, and the box. Test that out too. This has got the extra piece where most of the rotators go in the tower. This one has the extra piece so you can just mount it on top of a pole and mount the antenna directly above it. I also have a 2-element 6-meter V-beam mounted on top of the MA5B. We also have a 6-meter sleeve vertical. Rather old, but really sturdily done. Everything is in camouflage brown. People never noticed my antennas because we painted them with paint whenever we put them up. And, of course, Gordon already put the called dibs on the 2-meter 440, 18-foot high vertical for... Now, Gordon, you want me to do the question now or later?
Okay, so how can someone reach you, Noel?
My call at the RRL.net and 2OEL.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Noel about what he has? Okay. So there we go. Noel, go with your question.
Okay. Eventually I'm going to put this house on sale, probably February, March. My roommate does not really watch TV. I'm not going to be here. And Verizon is up to $108 a month. Well, Optima has a $24.99 a month. They'll give you, I guess it's about 5 meg or 10 meg internet service. Doesn't matter. We never use it all. We're never speed limited because we don't download movies. The internet service is fine. And they give you an antenna for over-the-air TV. So I said, what the heck? I don't need to spend that extra $75 a month for the next several months until June next year. So they came in, they put the internet service in. We are in the process of sending the box back from Fios. Now, what's interesting is they gave us an antenna that looks basically like a sheet of cardboard. And it's got a amplification module that runs off of 5 volts DC, which we just plugged into the back of the TV, which has a 5-volt USB connector. The thing is, my question is, what should be the orientation of this sheet of plastic to the TV stations? We know where the TV stations are because you can look them up on the internet, but should it be edge on or facing it? Because it doesn't say, no place in the instructions does it give us that edge on or facing it. That's the question. And Julio.
WA2UMP.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, a couple of comments. Basically, well, a couple of comments from the top. Typically, the antennas that the providers give you are not the best because they want you to come back to and use their service, which you can't blame them. That's how you you stay in business. So let me answer your, let me let it drop, and then I'll answer your question, and then I'll make a simple recommendation for a slightly better antenna.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, so it should be, the flat side should face toward the Empire State Building, okay? The flat side, so the most surface area is toward the Empire State Building, or some between, or somewhere in between the Empire State Building and Newark, depending on where you're picking up most of your stations. Now, should it be vertical or horizontal? I played with that, and often horizontal works a little better, despite the fact that the antennas are vertically polarized, and I can't explain that one, but you can experiment with both. But the broadside should go against, should face the area that you're receiving from. Let me let it drop one more time. Okay, now a better antenna where you'll pick up a lot more stations is a bow tie. Okay, now the bow tie, you can get a double bow tie or a quad bow tie. And a double bow tie is adequate. You can get one for $30 or $40, and it's somewhat portable. And this is a UHF antenna, so it's going to be weak depending on where you are on things like channel 7 and 13. Okay, but stronger on the UHF, and a lot of them have been remapped to UHF. So that's a recommended replacement. I have both. I have a double bow tie in the bedroom and a quad bow tie in the living room. And that works very adequately, and I have high-speed internet with Fios and do a lot of streaming of video. And the combination of the two is adequate if you're not, if you don't watch a lot of TV. I get 68 channels on the quad bow tie and maybe 50, not quite as good on the double bow tie. So, with that, back to Ned.
Okay, anybody else have any comments for Noel? DC2GI. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I picked up a single bow tie at Wayne Electronics for about $35, and I have it mounted on a pipe up in my attic inside, pointing towards New York City, and I get about 45 channels without any kind of problem at all, going to the input of a flat screen TV, and all of the major ones, you know, 2, 4, 7, 5, 9, 11, 13, without a problem. So it works really well. Back to the AC2GI.
Okay, anybody else have thoughts? Okay. Mr. Noel.
We have a quad bow tie on the roof that was installed several months ago. The problem is we should have labeled the downlead because we're not sure where it went. And we have to find it before we do anything. So one day we're going to go into the wiring closet and just keep connecting RG6 F connector to a TV to see which one it is. But right now, we're using the one that was given to us by Optimum. I get 33 channels, and what prompted this question is, you can go on TV Guide. There's an app for that, and it is a fantastic app. And when I put in my zip code and over-the-air TV, it comes up with like 90 channels. And I have, so that made me realize that we're not getting optimum performance. So that's what prompted this whole question. Yes, we actually need to put two antennas up, one aimed for Newark Montclair and one aimed for the Empire State Building, because unfortunately, the angle between the two is like 90 degrees. So back to net. This is, and thank you, gentlemen, for your help. This is N2OEL.
RE. Very good. So that answers that. Anything else you can think of before we move on, Noel?
No, thank you. N2OEL.
Okie doke. Very good. All right, Jim, WHAUMP, K2VAR.
Yes, I didn't have a question or a comment, Gordon. Is there something that I could respond to?
I had you in mind for later. I'm sorry. No, it was Rich's turn. I apologize. AC2GI, your turn, Rich, K2VAR.
K2VAR, AC2GI, good evening. Today I got a request from my future manager to acquire a general radio telephone license operator ticket for whatever reason. Anybody know good study guides, good practice tests, and where would you go to take that test? Back to net, AC2GI.
W5YI administers those tests, and I believe they even publish a study guide.
Okay, that's simple enough. You wouldn't know where they would offer them, would you?
I believe they even have teams that do that. Unlike the ham teams, the commercial folks get paid, I think, to do those. The other thing is that the fees for taking a GROL, last I looked, were in the $150 range. But that doesn't mean they're there now. They could be less, they could be more, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that's the only one that really popped up when I started to Google it. So the fees I'm not worried about. It's being able to get the study material and some practice exams before you go for it. So I will definitely go through Mr. West then, AC2GI. Thank you.
Yeah, the other thing I would recommend is that just so that It's a complete package. Take every endorsement you can stand.
I'm not sure I understand that, Gordon.
Well, there's at least a radar endorsement. I thought there was another one.
All right, yeah, I was told elements 1 and 3, but I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm not exactly sure either. So the reason why you might want to take the radar endorsement is because as high-frequency systems emerge over the next few years, interaction with systems that are radar-based or using adjacent spectrum or influenced by said radars or subject to the influence of your system on a radar could become relevant.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, I will look into that. Thank you very much. Back to net, EC2GI.
I'm actually thinking of studying for the GROL, but I have other required things to study for work right now, but the company's perception of what I need to line up for versus what needs to be lined up for are in fact different. And we're having a little fun with that right now, but anyway, it's all good. Very, very good point. I don't know if Gordon West himself actually does the GROL training, but I know W5YI publishes same, and you know, what you don't want to do is sit for the exam and fail it. You can't take it like a ham exam, because it costs a lot more money to take the test. I think that's the bottom line measurement.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, by the way, it makes me wish I had gotten my general radio telephone operator's license years ago, and I never did. I just never bothered to take the commitment and sit down for the test. It wasn't all that hard. I did sit down for the third class and almost passed it up without any prior study, which was kind of weird. But I've looked over the materials maybe 30 years ago for what became the GROL at that point. It was the second class. It was just after they got rid of the first class and made it the general. About 30 years ago, I also reviewed the radar endorsement material. I'm sure it's all different now. Damn well better be, anyway. Let's see. Something I wanted to talk about today I took the time and trouble to strap a piece of aluminum scrap that I had, scrap angle, across some tubular aluminum that's on my roof rack that I clamped onto the regular roof rack a week or so ago. And now I have three NMO mounts, and I was worried about them not being sufficient to get a resonant point. And unlike my roof mounts on my previous vehicle, which is very similar to this one, which I drilled right through the roof, this one I drilled through a piece of angle, and I can't explain it, but bolted to my roof rack, etc., with much less metal. I can't tell you the pattern, because there's not a lot of ground plane in front of it, and depending on which antenna to the sides. But what's really strange is that the resonant point of the same antennas I had before has lowered substantially. And I'm not exactly sure why, but they have. Now, in all fairness, the antenna that's between the two dual band antennas that I had previously, there's a 2 meter 5/8 that's cut from the low end of 2 meters between the other two antennas, and that did not exist on the other vehicle. So I'm wondering if perhaps by having that other antenna in between and just about a quarter wavelength away from each other. Maybe just a little bit more. Actually, they are just a bit more. That may be what's at issue. They're about 22 or so inches apart. And so what I'm thinking is that having the 5/8 in between 22 inches one way, 22 inches or 22 and a half inches one way, 22 and a half inches the other way, to each of the two dual banders may be lowering the overall resonant point of all three antennas, but that's just my guess. Any thoughts?
WA2UMP.
Mr. Jim.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you that putting the three antennas in somewhat close proximity increases the physical size by the magic of coupling, and therefore you have a larger object, a somewhat larger object with lower resonant frequencies. So that's my guess, and I think it's pretty much what you were saying.
Yeah, what's interesting is the antenna in between it's directly in between as opposed to set back like a triangle. They're all now in a line. So I'll redo the SWR measurements with the middle antenna missing. I'll just take it out and see what that does. And then I'll try to replace it with a quarter wave on 2 meters and see how that influences the SWR. But the dual band antennas seem definitely to be lower in resonance frequency than they were on the other vehicle, number one. Number two, that center antenna is set for the 144 spectrum, and literally 144.2, I think it was cut for. So even though it's a Larson FM antenna, 5/8 antenna, but it's set for the low end of the band. So that could be. So we'll see what happens. In the worst case, I can mount it to the rear of the rack and do the same thing on the back. Pardon me. Yawn, yawn. All right, anybody else with questions? All right, I haven't talked to Frank yet today, K3TDX, but he was getting, we were able to determine why he wasn't able to hear the New Garrett Mountain site. And for the mesh network, and the reason for that was he wasn't on the right channel and he wasn't using the right bandwidth. He was hearing Garrett Mountain very, very well, high signal quality, and then coming back the other way, we were not able to hear him. We ascertained why. The other point was that he wasn't running current code, and there was some performance gaps in the version he was running, so we took care of that. So his notes have been upgraded. I don't know if he's had a chance to put one back up on his roof yet, but we're going to try that in the next day or so. I don't know if he had a chance today because he wasn't feeling well earlier in the week, but maybe he's back up. If not, he'll get it up tomorrow or Saturday. If you are running 2.4 gig mesh, try pointing it toward the center of Garrett Mountain and south of the north end, basically. And channel minus two and bandwidth of 5 megahertz. Set your distance parameter appropriately to your distance from Garrett Mountain. Number two, there's a 900 meg node also aimed northeast. In this case, from Garrett Mountain towards the Fairlawn area. It's on 917, also 5 megahertz, so you can try that. The 2.4 gig antennas are MIMO diversity antennas, and they're vertical, so on 2.4. So that's but they're relatively on. So there we go. Anybody else? All right, well, anybody else have anything they would like to add to the net tonight?
WA2ISC. Gordon, I've been checking from time to time, but I still don't see you on 900 megahertz. Over.
And we're on 917, correct?
Yeah, 917.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to climb up on the roof and start poking around. I really need to do that. What I really need to do is put those antennas a little higher on a rotatable mast to get the rotator working, but we'll see if I have time to do that before it gets bitter. Either way, I can certainly swing it manually towards you. We'll see what wind gives. Yeah, it is a little frustrating, Bob. I'll give you that.
Okay, Gordon. As far as I know, I think the those antennas are fairly broad as far as directivity goes, like plus or minus 40 degrees. There's no real difference in gain. Over.
That might be true on your end. On my end, I'm running a 2.4 gig rocket dish, which is, what, 24 dB of gain? So it's very narrow. And on 900, I'm running a cross-polarized MIMO configuration, Yagi. And that beam width, I think, is around 20-odd degrees, 30-odd degrees, so it's pretty narrow.
Okay, but mine is just the M900 ubiquity thing, so you should have no problem finding me once you aim it directly at me. Over.
I would agree. One of the things I was thinking of doing, Bob, win, lose, or draw with a rotator, is to yank the old rotator out, muscle the mast down, all 20-odd feet of it, strap a rocket to it on your side of the mast, basically, with two vertical, sticks, just small vertical sticks, toward the top of the mast, but underneath my 2-meter Omni, and then push it all 20-odd feet back up. I need good weather. A day where I feel rested and strong enough to do it, is a non-trivial task. But in the process of doing that, that would raise a 2.4 gig Omni, or put a 2.4 gig Omni 25 feet higher than everything I have right now, maybe a little bit more than that, actually. So that's another thought. It would be nominally directional because of the influence of the mast, but not terribly, and I could basically have it face in your general direction. It would probably be fine. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's many tasks to do right now. We'll see what happens. The warm days are few and far between, as you know.
Okay, Gordon. I guess I'll see you on my neighbor list at some point if there's success. Anyway, I'll just say 73 is W2GTT, WA2IC.
Very good, Bob.
Yep.
All right, anybody else?
W2TKE.
Ted Frank.
Yeah, I've already started working on it, but I figure I might as well ask you guys, since you guys are the experts. So, over the past, we'll say 2 to 3 weeks, I started picking up some interference on HF. And it's like a buzzing sound that has like a 1 second pause. It's like, like that, and it's just constant. And it's primarily, it goes all over as far as where it's heard, but I'm hearing it most often on like 40 meters, 80 meters, but it's never usually the same exact frequency. Like, I just scroll around and there it is again. So I took a shortwave radio that I had, started walking around the neighborhood, and there's certainly a block that's near me where I'm hearing it louder and stronger. So I called the power company, and I have them come look at it. I'm thinking it may be something related, something outside, whether it's a transformer or whether it's something related to an Optum Wi-Fi hotspot, but I just wanted to ask you guys for ideas just in case those don't work out.
Okay, let me give you something that's related to something else I'm working on in the way of an insurance case in another state as part of the ARRL's Electromagnetic Compatibility Committee. I'm thinking Christmas lights. Let's start there. And I'm thinking, but not necessarily because of the timing that you mentioned. But whether it is or isn't, we've seen cases where there is some ghastly emitter conducting power, conducting a noise down the power lines, and it pretty much stays put up and until it hits an apparatus of some sort, and that could be a splice, a pole transformer, a capacitor bank, any number of other things, lightning arrestor. And at that point, with a bad splice or some other godforsaken condition, it leaves the wire, as it were. So the ghastly condition is observable on pole X. Yeah, there may or may not be something wrong with pole X. But more importantly, it's, 500 yards away down the street where it's coming from, and you can barely detect it along the route.
All right, copy that. I placed a call into ORU. They said they were going to send somebody, but of course they're not going to necessarily work directly through me. They're just going to send the crew and probably drive by and be like, everything's good. So, I think it could also be related to a hotspot that might have been recently added to the area. Other than that, I've heard that it could be like a dog fence or some other things, but the investigative work has begun.
Dog fences are another happy thing. What makes you think it might be a hotspot? And what do you mean specifically by a hotspot?
I'm referring to an Optimum Wi-Fi hotspot, not the ones that people have in their houses, the ones that Optimum installs outside on the poles. There, we recently discovered one that's popping up on the phones here that we didn't, it's new to us because we don't remember seeing it, going back, whatever it is, a few months. So now, when I go into the phone, it shows an Optimum hotspot. And I went to the website, and it does show one in the area where I think the issue could be, but I can't seem to spot it on the actual pole. There's nothing on the pole that tells me that that's what it is. So it's just a guess.
Yep, and the switching power supplies for those can be nasty, nasty, nasty. Every so often, with the equipment that my company will provide, we buy it from a supplier who then in turn has a subcontractor who provides, let's say, modular power supplies of one form or another to them. And we'll get a bad run of power supplies, and they will scream like pigs. And sometimes they affect the service we're trying to render. Other times they're just not very good neighbors to other services that share the ecosystem. So, we feel your pain, as they say.
All right, well, I'll keep working on it, and if I get some resolution or whatever, I'll report back to you guys. So thanks for the feedback. Back to that.
Yeah, if you can make an audio recording of it, that might be pleasant. If you have an SDR of some sort, you can take a waterfall display, however short, along with what the curve looks like instantaneously. That might be fun, too.
Will do. I'll send you some samples.
Yeah, why don't you post them to the ComTech group? The other thing I can tell you is that if we get more information or if we get a good case, we can forward this to Mike Gruber and Ed Hare at the League. They always like to have this for their library of fun stuff to think about in case that pattern should show up again.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because I was talking to, I think I was talking to Chris about this, and I mentioned that there probably, something like that probably exists where they match the actual sound and say, yep, that's, you know, that sound means this. So, good idea.
Yeah, well, they don't have as formal a library as I'd like. But over the years, let's say, for instance, I have done a pretty good characterization of all things AT&T VDSL. and I can't share that, but, you know, we've taken the time to characterize what it might sound like when it becomes, you know, should we say, off the wire. And, but we've also captured others and other signal sources, power supplies, switching power supplies in various forms, et cetera. And not just the sound, but also where we where we're able to, what frequencies they're occupying and how they're occupying them. And we've been able to leverage that pretty effectively. And Frank, anything you can post to the ComTech group is fair game, and I can, introduce you to Ed Hare, and if not Ed Hare, certainly Mike Gruber up at the League, who handles most of these cases. So, if you get satisfaction, great. If you don't get satisfaction, that's a shame from O&R, but more importantly, documenting what it is hugely helpful.
All right, I've begun keeping a kind of a log of various times during the day of when I hear it, what frequency I hear it on, and so I've been updating that log on a daily basis. So we'll see where that goes. I will send stuff to the group after this. Thank you very much.
Alrighty, very good. Pulling down into a different parking space. This netto is over. I'm going to run inside and watch the end of my son's second hockey game tonight. Anyway, anything else for the net tonight from anybody? Alrighty. That wasn't very nice. Someone's trying to back into this spot that I'm backing into from the opposite side. That's pretty funny. Alrighty, anybody else? Alright, well, thanks everybody for a nice net tonight. Good questions, good comments, good less confusion than is normal. And it's always fun to have these nets. And a Grohl question, even. That was an interesting one from Rich. So, Rich, thank you for bringing that up. And we'll see what happens. And on that note, I wish everyone a fine evening, and welcome to December. Just a couple of quick notes. If you remember the Fairlawn Club, the dinner is tomorrow night at the Senior Citizen Center. Also, next Friday night, not tomorrow, the Fairlawn Radio Club is hosting a gathering for the CEO of the league to come address us. It's open to any amateur radio operator. Again, it will be at the Senior Citizens Center, not the Community Center, because of the anticipated attendance. So we hope that you'll come and participate next week. The other thing is, I think bar dinner reservations are closed, but if you are so inclined to want to attend on Sunday evening at the Crow's Nest on Route 17, please contact K2 Delta Sierra Lima, K2 DSL, and it may not be too late. I mean, they're pretty flexible, but if you are a member, or if you're a non-member, there's slightly different charges, but you're welcome to attend, and it's always a nice holiday gathering. And on that note, I'll secure the net at this time. 7-3, everyone, and have a great one. This is K2BAR, W2TGG, 7-3.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Selfie.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
NZ2K listening. NZ2K.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat. Thank you.